Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Thank you for joining me today for episode number 2 of the Everything Coworking Podcast. So excited to have you back. So our first episode was an interview with Jeff Joerling, who is really ingrained in the coworking culture, totally seeing trends that he shared, has a lot of experience in the space. And I'm mixing in a few interviews that I did with people who work in coworking spaces around the country. So I wanted to share some stories of freelancers, entrepreneurs, people who are working out of coworking spaces so we can get a little bit more of a sense of what draws people to coworking spaces, what do they mean to them, you know, what do they need, what's important, and what are their stories. And I'm really excited for this one. This one's with Nicole Yeary. She is the founder of the Ms. Tech Group out of Chicago. She works at Grind Spaces, which is a coworking space at 2 North LaSalle in Chicago, Illinois. And she just has a really great story. If you've ever thought of it doing anything entrepreneurial and have been a little bit afraid, you got to just jump into it and follow your passion. And her story really shares that journey. So she's going to share her story from her role as an insurance agency owner and then in the ranks of the unemployed and then to following her passion and becoming the founder of Ms. Tech. So she has a lot of great things to share. And we should also include a lot of resources that she talks about in the episode in the show notes. And those can be found at everythingcoworking.com/2. Thanks and hope you enjoy. Nicole, thank you for joining me today, especially on a Friday right before lunch.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, well, I know a little bit about you personally. I know a lot about your Facebook group, which I'm a member of, the Ms. Tech group. And unfortunately, I don't live in Chicago anymore, so I'm not able to attend your events. But you are doing some really amazing things for women in the tech space and surrounding the tech space. So I'm really excited to hear your story and have you tell us more of what you're up to. So let's start off. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Anything you'd like to share, where you grew up, you know, quick background, anything you'd like to tell us about yourself.
Yeah, of course. And I'm really glad to be here. And I visit over at Enterspace and it's glad to kind of see that you've expanded to California. And I know that you've got a great space here. And I'm really honored to be a part of this, Jamie. I think that, yeah, being a part of the group, you meet so many people and awesome to be a part of their experiences and what they do in business and work and even blog posts and podcasts. So, but a little bit about me where I grew up in Ohio. So I'm still a Midwest girl. Mm-hmm. And my career was mostly spent in insurance. So I had worked in financial services, being a financial advisor, had my own agency, was a broker, and helped work on a startup within a large corporation. In 2008, I moved to Chicago. 3 months later, I kind of experienced the economic downturn and was laid off. That's where I took my, you know, leap into the entrepreneurial journey and haven't looked back since.
Awesome. So I love that story because your background is totally, I guess I expected it to be something tech related. And I love stories that are inspirational for others. You're totally an entrepreneur, just not in the tech space.
Yeah. Well, I went to school at Purdue for engineering. It was architectural engineering. And ironically, and this might relate more to what you do, but space planning and lighting and color design, because I had an interest in interior design. But I had been working on that startup within the company, which was very tech related. It was selling insurance online. Okay. So it was still very relatable. And I wanted to take that knowledge and experience and implement it into maybe something I could build of my own. And that's really kind of what initiated Ms. Tech.
Yeah. So tell us more about that. How did the idea come to you? What was the genesis? What was your first step to get it started?
You know, it wasn't intentional. So I remember going to brunches on Sundays with other women here in the city, trying to get to know other people. After being laid off, after moving here, you know, 3 months earlier, I really did not have a network here. I was working in Indianapolis prior to that, and had lived there for 10 years. So I was like, how overwhelming living in a bigger city like this and not knowing very many people and needing to find a job in a bad economy. But then I realized that when I was around them, that I should just go ahead and take this initiative and learn from them. And I found that I was the only one attending pitch type related events. around tech startups, but they had asked me one day after coming from one, who was there and who attended? Were there other women there? And I found that interesting because I don't typically always have those same questions. I kind of just jump in to something that I want to do. But I realized that there were other women that may have been apprehensive to starting something because it was a very, very male-dominated industry. While insurance was too, it was different. It wasn't the same. So basically, after going to a brunch, I started a Facebook group, invited the 8 women that I had been going to brunch with, and made it private because I had never started a Facebook group or group of any kind before. But I did know that I wanted to start to share resources, even as a freelancer, you know, being an SEO person, I had studied SEO and wanted to kind of build my own personal blog. And through that, I learned a lot of the basics of SEO and started subcontracting out to other people and offering work and to others based on things that I wasn't skilled in. And that's what the Facebook group really started out as. And it is now grown to 1,300 in the city. We are just in Chicago right now, so it's a pretty large group, and it's been invitation only. So it's a, I would say, a self-vetting group.
Yeah, I love that you started with 8. I think people, when they think about starting any sort of initiative, look at people who have been really successful, like your group. And it's hard to imagine that maybe it started with 8, you know, and you had a specific mission, but you started with a group of folks that you knew, and invitation only, the community built upon itself, and now it's at 1,300 and a really active, engaged community. It's amazing. So what would you boil down? What is the primary mission of Ms. Tech?
So our mission, it's been an evolving thing because it brings and attracts all sorts, right? So we have women who are tech developers. They're, you know, they might be programmers, designers, front end, back end. And then we also have business owners who need tech knowledge. We have marketers who work for agencies. So there's all pieces and parts of women in tech and business. I personally had a pain point in was finding a HIPAA certified developer. Mm-hmm. And that was, okay, I do a little research, right, to kind of write my business plan, and found out that they were making an upwards of $200,000 a year. And so I realized I was going to need to start some sort of fundraising. And that was my personal pain point. I had never really felt like there wasn't an opportunity for me. Growing up, my dad included me in everything. Like, I shot a bow and arrow with him. I went fishing with him. He included me, and I always felt included with and around men. For some reason, I didn't feel necessarily a gender bias, but I did feel that there was not the same opportunity given to myself and other women when it came to fundraising a tech startup. I wanted to like investigate more. It was just curiosity for me. And so now our focus is and our mission is to look beyond just changing the ratio into really advancing the networks and the businesses of the women involved.
I love it. That's a great story and a great mission. What has been your biggest struggle getting Ms. Tech off the ground?
I think you hear this a lot. It's team, building a team, you know, so I'm one person and I'm sure, you know, running things too and leading a company. First, I didn't recognize that this was a business, right? So it had been growing and was taking up a lot of my time. I thought maybe there's some real change that needs to be made in this. If there's so many women that are a part of this, that are so smart and that I learn from every single day, that are willing to share business with one another and be each other's advocate. What is missing out there that we feel the need to bond together so closely? Taking that really kind of a push to focus on this 100% and make it my full-time job. Then now that I've been a year into it and it's been my full-time job, we became an official, you know, corporation and kind of getting everything formalized. It comes down to finding additional people who can also provide that same commitment and have that same vision, and you work well together. And I think finding a team has been the biggest challenge, but it continues to be something I learned from. And I think that it's an evolution too, and that it's not something that can ever be pushed too soon, you know, or forced. Recently, we've, you know, just picked up our first out of state member, and learning from others and how they want to bring it to their cities. It's been something that I want to be very careful of because community is a very sensitive thing. I think that you want to make sure that, at least I do, you know, I want to make sure that everyone within the group is taken care of and I'm not missing anything. And I hate when it's just one person, you, because it tends to be more subjective. So I like to bring in, and I started a council, which was volunteer based. And that way it wasn't subjective to just my opinion or my thoughts or my feeling about the group. I could bring in other entrepreneurs who are in MizTech and get their insight and take what they see as being the priorities and moving that forward with volunteer support.
The struggle you talk about in terms of growing a team and being one person is something so many of us struggle with. And I think, you know, you talked about it being an evolution. And I think that about almost every aspect of being a business owner. And sometimes I will ask someone, when am I going to stop learning lessons? When will this game be over? And I will just know what I need to know. And that goes with building a team. But it, you know, it's great because it sounds like you've taken what was a struggle and turned it into a really neat opportunity, which is getting, you know, additional perspectives on the community. So are you preparing for a launch outside of Chicago?
Yes. Our goal is to be bi-coastal and have Chicago be our main Midwest hub, but have two bi-coastal locations that have tapped into those, I guess, ecosystems, and then focus on secondary cities and go hopefully into other global locations, because the need is goes way beyond the Midwest.
Great. Good for you. Big plans. Make no small plans. What has been your biggest success to date?
You know, that's a tough one, because it's tiny victories, I feel like,
totally.
All the time.
Yes. And it can be just a memory of one of those days where you felt like,
yeah,
wow, I'm making a difference, or wow, this is really, you know, starting to go well. Tell us about that moment.
I would say definitely was when I had the approval from my parents to do what I'm doing. You know, I think that from outside in, it's like, I'm a girl with a Facebook group that tends to have a very vocal, very passionate Facebook group. And it, you know, at the time I was going back and forth from Chicago, and my mom had, you know, gotten sick, and I went home to be with her for a little bit. But then I had my own personal things that I was dealing with. And so I moved to Ohio temporarily, because I was like, I'm not going to stay here. There's no way. But I had been going back and forth, and my parents were like, you should really look into being a nurse or something like that, you know? And I'm like, seriously? They're like, you're back here, just stay with us and go to school to be a nurse. You'll be happier. Really, I'm not. If I'm going to focus on what I really want to do, I was adamant about that. I did what I needed to do. You know, I picked up work with my dad and worked side by side with him. And we really had the opportunity to really get to know each other as adults, which was kind of neat, because I had moved away at a young age at 19. And so going back home and being by my dad and helping him with his brick and mortar business taught me a lot about brick and mortar business. And then there was a point where a woman who came in to his shop, and he's a mechanic, and so she's a business owner and needed some work done in her car. And he had said, you know, you really need to talk to my daughter. She could probably help you with that. She helps women in business. And it was like, I got a referral from my dad. And then it was literally a couple weeks later, my mom had asked if she could go to Chicago with me to attend one of the events. And it was at that moment I realized that they had a genuine interest and had taken that, and they had a full understanding of what I do. And they showed that they believed in me, and that and my dad said to me, he's like, you're not going to be happier anywhere else. So you have my honor to make sure that you make it back there. And I think that you could do big things with what you've been working on. So it was at that moment, I think, that it was a big victory for myself, but also MizTech and our mission.
Yeah. I appreciate you sharing such a personal story. I think it's helpful for all of us who have struggled, you know, with those things. And being an entrepreneur is challenging, and especially these days when a lot of us are doing things that are not easy for people to understand, like not being a nurse or a teacher or a lawyer or
right.
Something more traditional. And it's hard enough, you know, to run a business without having the support of friends and family and then understanding what you're trying to do. But yeah, that moment where they're on board and want you, you know, really start to get your dream and support that is a big deal. So I'm glad you've been through that journey and are on the other side of that. It's a good place to be in. share whatever you're comfortable with, but I always think it's helpful for folks that are thinking about launching a business, especially something that's sort of less tangible, like a community. What are you looking at in terms of monetization opportunities for your platform?
Yeah, so this is, you know, in communities, people, right? And so you don't want to feel like people, you're monetizing people, mm-hmm. and that's not the point. The point is to be sustainable and make impact. And in order to do that, it takes money and resources. Mm-hmm. Really looking at what kind of models are out there that help entrepreneurs, that help startups. And what I focused on is taking a virtual accelerator type of model and matching that to what we have as a membership, providing the education by empowering the women in the group to teach workshops and paying them for those so that they have, not only are we, you know, hosting these workshops, but we're paying those that we see as the experts to come in and providing that for our members. And then all of those, you know, workshops or classes or boot camps are all related to building a business. Specifically, what we have a focus on is the tech startups. Because going back to the whole gender bias thing, you know, while there is lots of studies and proven that, you know, less than 2%, or I think it's actually 4% was the most recent one, but private equity is hard to peg, but less than 4% of venture-backed startups are female-founded. And they're not even accounting for those that are owned by one woman. You know, most of those have a co-ed partnership, you know, so there's a male counterpart involved, and that helps a ton. Going back to, we wanted to provide things that truly empowered them, that they had control over, like their pitch, articulating their business to investors so that they can actually raise capital and hire people. But I think it was about 6% of our workforce comes from women-owned businesses. And that, to me, is really alarming. If 30% roughly of business owners are women and only 6% of our workforce are coming from them, that means they're not able to hire and scale themselves. And so how do we get there? And I think a large part of it is factoring and learning how we can scale ourselves. And so we started a membership. We're going to be rolling out student memberships, but right now it's just an annual or monthly membership. Monthly is $35 and annual is $365 a year. So it's literally a dollar a day. And we see it as an investment in yourself and a supporter of the cause. So if you support the cause and you just believe in what we do, then you can become a member. And that support goes right back into all the education and hiring other professionals. And then also, if you are an entrepreneur and you need help, basically when you become, you know, a annual member, we, especially right now, since we are still small, we're able to take a, you know, kind of wing lady approach to it, where we want to talk to you every other week and learn what it is that you're faced with and struggling with so that we can try to ramp up some resources for them, be it, you know, a premier level app that they might be using every day and getting them a group rate on that. Or if it's making an introduction to an investor, angel or VC, whatever it might be. So that's kind of where we've been focusing on, as opposed to taking equity in a company or doing some of the other things that is very hard for a super early stage entrepreneur or startup.
Yep, great. It's a funny experience to do an audio recording because I'm sitting here nodding my head and sort of rah-rahing while you're talking and you can't see my feedback. But yeah, I mean, everything you talk about is just amazing and tons of value add in there. So I love the membership model. When at the very end, we'll have you tell everybody where to find you in case they want to check out the options that are available there.
And just to add on to this really quickly, I would say that, you know, it wasn't my perception because I'm so focused on the entrepreneur. I've had businesses reach out to me and say, can we buy a bulk rate for our employees? And so, of course they can, but being able to give them, you know, templated tools to make meetings like we do our lunches within their company. And it's our intention to go ahead and push that forward as we go along. And even looking back, there's a lot of women that are members that their company ended up paying for their membership. So there's a value in organizations making investments in their employees as well, both in education and wellness. And this is one of those that I see will be larger going forward.
I love it. You know, I'm glad you mentioned that because I hadn't thought about that segment of the population. And it's great because when you get women in bigger companies, that are supported in that way and learning, eventually they'll take that and potentially go out on their own, but also just a great resource for entrepreneurs who are starting their ventures to have folks to leverage that are in bigger companies, a great ecosystem.
They also promote entrepreneurship too, when you have them with an entrepreneur-minded type of style, you know?
Yeah, we love that. I mean, we see that in co-working, which we'll talk about in a minute, but bigger companies paying for co-working memberships sort of in a, you know, similar, with a similar objective to get exposure to innovation and entrepreneurial mindset. Yeah,
awesome.
I love it. Okay, so we've talked about some inspirational aspects of what you're doing. Are there a couple of practical things that have been really helpful in your journey that you would recommend?
We don't value mentors and coaches and fellow leaders that are around us enough. Sometimes it, even ourselves. So the knowledge that we can share, organizations like Startup Weekend and what they do, you know, working with them recently on organizing, the first women's edition here. When I brought in and invited coaches, they had said, feedback I got was like across the board, all of them were so inspired by just like being a part of it, but had said, I didn't realize how much I knew. Definitely tapping into the people around you and empowering them and what they do and getting their perspectives on things and experiences has been tremendously helpful for me. Community, personally, you know, resources wise, before I met, Benjamin from Grind, I was working from literally McDonald's at Clark on Lake here downtown.
Glamorous.
Yeah, it was rough, okay? So, but I would go around wherever I could in between meetings to find Wi-Fi and try to get work done. And now, being in a space where not only myself can be here and work from a place that's quiet and quick Wi-Fi, but also run into other people in the community that you see online a lot, but to pass them and to say, hey, is that what you're doing? And that evolves into a conversation that sometimes really turns into business opportunities, collaborations. And so for me, it's been a big part of community and people.
I'm going to spell this out for folks that are listening. So Nicole jumped right into talking about Grind, which is a co-working space to North LaSalle in Chicago. Opened last fall, and she is a member there along with some other members of Miss Tech, which I think is really neat because kind of what you were just describing, I'll see in the Facebook group, there will be a discussion about something online, and then someone will say, hey, are you going to be at Grind, this week? Let's talk about this more. So sort of bridging that online community with the physical community and the amazing things that can happen when you're doing a little bit of both. So I love it. So one of my questions that I want to ask my interviewees is sort of, how do you find your tribe? I think it's so important that we all have folks that we feel like we have a shared mindset with. And you've done that by creating Ms. Tech, which is really a tribe for 1,300 people. And then you have Grind, which is another place you go to find your tribe. Is there anything else that you would add into that group for where you sort of find your people?
It's the online and offline where those meet, events and whatnot. Ms. Tech was really founded on a Facebook group, but lives on through offline interaction and engagement that you can make in terms of uplifting each other. I think that by participating in, like I mentioned, even, Startup Weekend, but I'm always surrounded by women, but I'm a big proponent of like men and women in co-ed environments. And just recently meeting the two individuals that regularly organize the Startup Weekends here in Chicago, being a part of that allowed me to find two others that are very much in the same mindset. And what I would consider is I'm a part of their tribe now, So I think that just engaging in the offline, I think that it goes back to like my number one tip for entrepreneurs is to show up, because if you show up to a co-working space, if you show up to an event, or if you show up to anything that you're invited to be a part of, is so long as it's, something that you can commit to or you don't have prior commitments already, if you just show up, opportunities show up for you. And so I think that you'll find yourself surrounded by that tribe of people that have the same beliefs as you. If not, it's great to be enlightened and inspired by other tribes.
I love it. Just show up, Nicole's quote of the day. Okay, so where can we find you online?
Twitter. I am at Nicole Yeary. I love engaging with others, and I think that a lot of inspiration can be shared over Twitter. So yeah, if you want to do that. And then also Miss Tech, you can find out more about us at ms-tech.co and learn more about our community and read about other entrepreneurs that are doing great things. We have a feature every Monday that's called Monday Makers, where we like to share stories. And if you have a story to share with us, I would love for others to reach out to us so we can learn about theirs.
I love it. Great. And if you want to find Nicole in person, you can find her not working at the McDonald's any longer, but working at Grind Spaces at 2 North LaSalle in Chicago. So go check that out. Nicole, thank you so much for sharing your story and sharing your tips and letting us know where to learn more about what you're up to. We really, really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Jamie. And I appreciate it as well and look forward to listening to more of your interviews with others.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.